Well, you know, it's hard to follow me along when I say open your Bible, because a lot of people, but most of you now have got either the iPhones, iPads, or something like that, and you just swing to wherever. That's pretty cool. I'm not that fast yet on that kind of stuff. But anyhow, we're going to go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Okay? Psalm 46. In verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength. Got a signal. It's on. Okay. Making sure. Got to get this on tape. I'm sorry. Nobody even knows what tapes are anymore. Yeah, I still got a reel-to-reel. Yeah, I'm old school, brother. All right. Again, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So why not ask Him for help? Jesus said, ask and it will be given. For everyone who asks will receive. Those are what Jesus said. So do you believe that? Do you? You can be more vocal.
Yeah.
That's better. You know, because when you don't, the ones I hear is I hear voices like Tim and I hear Dean, and Dean's all the way back there. I'm thinking, okay, where's the rest of the voices? Uh-huh. You're too low. Let God know you're in the house.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Amen. Okay. Our refuge and strength. It can be rephrased as our impenetrable defense.
Yes.
Impenetrable defense. Can you imagine if that's what's guarding you? Just like a quarterback, if he has an impenetrable defense, you call it an offense, but it's actually a defense to protect him. If it's impenetrable, he got all the time in the world to be able to do what he's got to do. Hallelujah. So he's our impenetrable defense.
Yes.
Our God is not merely a temporary retreat, like going to Deep Creek, Maryland. No. Uh-huh. See, because that's only temporary.
Yes.
He is our eternal refuge. Eternal. Like forever. And He will provide us with the protection and needed strength while going through any circumstances.
Amen.
I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
Verse 2. Therefore, we need not fear. We need not fear. Even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea, do not be afraid.
Yeah.
What am I referring to? A nuclear blast.
Yeah.
If it hits, it crumbles those mountains. But we shouldn't fear that, because that's not how it's going to end. God's not going to let that happen. There ain't none of them that got the guts to go and push the button. It ain't going to happen.
Amen.
Do not fear.
Yes,
that's what their biggest tactic. Fear. Okay, verse 4. Why am I doing that? Because you got to read that I'm putting this all together. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. A river brings joy to the city of our God. City. In a sermon by John Winthrop in 1630, he proclaimed this over America: we shall be as a city upon a hill. He did that aboard ship before he even walked onto the land. And he got that from Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. He spoke the word over. He proclaimed America as that city upon a hill. A river brings joy to the city of our God. President Reagan once said, America is a shining city upon a hill whose beacon light guides freedom-loving people everywhere. We owe it to future generations of Americans and those who wish to come here legally to promote democracy and defend ourselves and our allies from aggressors. A river brings joy to the nation of our God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33, 12. Now in John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus makes a seemingly odd metaphorical statement. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Yet as it turns out, the statement isn't so odd, because Jesus actually had much to say about the idea of water and new life, as you read in the Gospels. Washing of the water. Water. He used water quite a bit. Now, Jesus is not saying he is the living water, but it is through him that we receive it. Yeah. See, and John makes that clear in verse 39. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. John was making sure we knew that. So it is the Holy Spirit is the living water. It's the Holy Spirit. It is the ministry of the Spirit flowing out of a heart redeemed by God that blesses believers and through them brings life and light to the world. Starting to make sense? A prayer by Reverend Robert Hunt on April 26, 1607, on the landing at Cape Henry, set America on its fulfillment of God's purpose. In covenantal language, he declared, from these very shores, the gospel shall go forth to not only this new world, America, but the entire world. Again, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Rivers of living water will flow through believers. And that flow of living water is flowing from the believers into America and to the nations of the world. Amen. That's us.
Yes, it is.
America has a purpose.
Yes, it does.
And it's God's purpose. It's God's plan for America.
Yes.
Verse 5. Back to Psalm 46. Talking about the city, remember? God is within her. She will not fail or fall. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Now, let me do it, Pastor Jackson. God is within America. America will not fall. God will help America at the break of day. America will be saved. He's given us His Word so that we can take comfort. We are that city upon the hill. We have a purpose, a God purpose. That is to make sure that we get the gospel. We get that living water out to the people around the world and in this nation. There are so many in this nation that have not been reached yet. Praise God. Verse 6. Nations are in uproar. Oh, do we see that? Kingdoms fall. Have we not seen a lot of them fall? He lifts His voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is Almighty. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful, meaning there is nothing which is not possible for our God. Again, God is all-powerful. The Lord Almighty is with us. He is with us.
Yes, amen.
Let me try that again. The Lord Almighty is with us. You know, I can learn a lot of things from Mario Marilla and from Gene Bailey and them. That's how you get the people to actually believe what they're saying, because you're saying, well, the more you say it, the more you will believe it.
Amen.
You hear me saying it, I can say it and say it and say it, but until you start saying it and start believing it,
come on, Pastor.
Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm not speaking to deaf ears. I know your ears and hearts are open wide. Hallelujah. Verse 9. He stops wars all over the world. Seal on that for a second, huh? He breaks the soldiers' bows, shatters their spears, and burns their shields. No matter how little they are, I don't care how big the tyrants are coming against you. Didn't look like America stood a chance, did it, against England. Russia is coming against a small nation, and they didn't think they were going to come up against somebody who's fighting as hard as they are over there. They're fighting for their freedom. There's a church over there that needs a lot of prayer. We must pray. We must pray for Ukraine and the Baltic states, folks. And we got to also make sure we keep praying for Afghanistan. We must be consistent and we must be persistent in praying for America's turnaround and the third great awakening. It takes prayer. Prayer changes things. It is going to take changed hearts. Changed hearts will turn America back to God, which will allow Him to heal our land.
Amen.
Be praying that in the meantime, God helps us minimize the damage the tyrannical oppressors can do here and abroad. Pray for our Congress to turn from being controlled by liberals, leftists, and the ungodly this November. For men and women with biblical world views and values to take their positions in the army of God. Pray every day for mercy and great peace to be poured out. Revival brings warriors who come into the army of God. And it is through this and through them that they need to go forth and start taking back the church, which has been taken from us. Taking back and establishing back what the families are, husbands and wives. Right? Because that's what the leftists have told us differently. But no, we got to take back the family values.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We got to go back and take back our education.
Come on.
That's what the army's supposed to be doing. Going back up there. Because there's only 3% of the left, extreme leftists that are controlling all of this. And there's 30% evangelical, born again, Christians, the Pentecostals. Whether you like it or not, we're considered Pentecostal. But we're being controlled by 3%. Because the 3% took all the major places and they're in control. Until we go back and take control of that. They've taken over our government. They have taken over the news media. This is for everybody, not just for y'all, but this is for everybody, because when this goes out, people got to realize that. To make change, we have to go back and get into those positions. We got to go back and be part of the school boards. Go back. You see what's happening around this nation, the more people that are getting involved in school boards. There's a shaking going in the education system. Right? We got to go back and take back the entertainment area. We got to go back. We got to influence Hollywood. There are ministers who've been called to be part of making movies, and they didn't know why. You know, it was a fun thing for them. They're ministering and doing what God did, but God moved them into this also. Why? To affect change.
Yeah.
To affect change. And to affect the arts. We are supposed to be going in there and doing that. We have to go back and take it. And they've taken over Wall Street and the financial areas. We got to take it back. And no longer. We can take our 30% and get rid of that 3%. Put them back in their place. We got to take it back. It's up to us. We're called. We're part of the army of God.
Yes, we
have assignments, each and every one. You're not sure of yours? Take your time. Get in your prayer closet and open up to God and ask Him what you should do to affect change. Ask Him what direction He wants you to go. And if you're quiet, He'll speak to you and tell you what you are supposed to do. It's not up to me to tell you what to do. I'm just encouraging you to get with the Lord and find out what He wants you to do to affect change in our nation. Hallelujah. Right now, this is 2022. This is the year of what? Midterm elections, is it not? What did Brother Copeland call 2022? A year of correction. A year of correction. A year of direction. Okay? A year of protection. And a year of perfection. He will perfect all those things concerning us. He will protect us when He calls us to go do what we're told to do. Your vote counts. I don't care what anybody says. Your vote counts. If we all go out, I don't think they can steal it. It can't happen when you have the people going out and voting. Praise God. Let's pray that they get back to paper ballots. Hallelujah. All right. Get back. I'm sorry. Went off there. Okay. 10. Okay. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world." All those nations, China, Russia, Venezuela. I can keep going. They're going to honor God throughout the world. But now look back. Be still. What do you think when he said be still? The call for stillness before the Lord here is not a preparation for worship. Oh no. But for impending judgment. God will be exalted. All the earth will bow before him. Have no doubt about it. Be still. Be still. And he says, you keep praying and you watch. But I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to the enemies. I'm going to show you what's going to happen to them. I'm going to show you what happens to ungodly. You be still. That's what he's trying to tell us. Judgment's coming. Decipher the scriptures for what they are. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Romans 14. For it is written. Boy, have we heard that? Somebody used that before, didn't it? Isn't that Jesus' famous word? For it is written, devil. That's what I lay. For it is written. But it says, Paul uses it here, and he said, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord. Think, as I live, says the Lord. Oh, he lives forever. He is eternal. Every knee shall bow to me. They can't get away from him. And every tongue shall confess to God. Woo! Yeah. In Psalm 8, we read it, O Lord, our Lord, right? Yeah. Well, you know what? The Hebrew language, Jehovah is the one in control. How great is your name in all the earth? You have set your shining greatness above the heavens. Oh, Lord, shine down upon us. Shine the heavens down upon America. Upon the world, Lord God. Let no evil be hidden. Let the darkness be gone in Jesus' name. The Lord of heaven's armies is among us. The Lord of heaven's armies is among us. Man. I thought you'd be more excited when you think about that. See, you got to stop and think about that. The Lord of heaven's armies is among us. And he himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. The Lord of heaven's armies is speaking. Man, he's got one big army too. Guess what? You're part of the army. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Question. Is he good?
Yes.
Is he God?
Yes.
Then he is good God Almighty. Amen? Let's talk about Crowder. He did that just so, and he prayed that it would be used in the houses of worship to incite the people to know how good our God is and how mighty he is, how omnipotent he is, how powerful he is. There is none more powerful than the God we serve. Realize that. Get it down deep in. No one is more powerful. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Are you trusting him?
Yes.
Then you're blessed.
Amen.
Scripture says that.
Yes,
if you trust him, you're blessed.
Come on, Pastor,
preach. Oh, man, can he lay out the blessings? Because
yes,
everything that he blesses you with is good.
That's right.
It's good.
Oh,
fear the Lord, you his saints. That's reverently. There is no want to those who reverently fear him. Verse 10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Because all good things are from him. Come from heaven. It pays to seek the Lord. In his word, it actually says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Psalm 34:17. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. States right there. He hears his people when they call for help. He rescues them from all their troubles.
Yes, sir. All.
There you go.
That's right.
All the troubles. All the troubles. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26 and 27, Moses addressing the Israelites because he's getting ready to make his departure and let Joshua take over. Okay, so you understand. Okay, there is no one like the God of Israel. He rides across the heavens to help you, across the skies in majestic splendor. Verse 27, the eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. His arms are under you, supporting you. You aren't going down.
Come on, Pastor. We need this.
He drives out the enemy before you.
Yes, he does.
He cries out, destroy them.
Come on. Hallelujah.
He's calling out, destroy them. We are told by God to destroy them. Little old me? Yes, little old you. What's it say in Luke 10:19? I like this one. Jesus speaking, right? Look. He said, look, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. And physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. Nothing shall in any way harm you. Woo, Jesus.
Yeah.
Nothing in any way shall harm you. Yeah, he's still got some powers, but not the power that you have. You have the power of the blood. See, you're covered in the blood.
Yeah.
The blood is protection.
Come on,
yes, impenetrable.
That's right.
Impenetrable. Don't fear the giants you face. They may talk big and bad, trying to instill fear, by their intimidation. But God has given you authority and power to trample, and that means to tread on and crush. We are the ones who are to be treading on the devil. If he tries to tread on you, don't let him. Resist him. I like the song, "Don't Tread on Me" by We the Kingdom. Goes, oh no, you've done it now. Gone against the king, gone against the crown. Oh no, you've done it now. Time to feel the fire. Rumors spreading around. How could you think he would stay down? Rumors spreading around. You're nothing but a liar. Get on out of here. Get on up and leave. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Hey, let's try that together. Get on out of here. Get on up and leave. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. See, he's choking on the blood that ran down the tree. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper in Jesus' name. Don't tread on me. Tell him, don't tread on me. Get on out of here. Hallelujah. He's nothing but a big old windbag. He don't even have no teeth. Don't give him dentures. You can give him dentures by the word you speak. Don't give him teeth to bite. Psalm 46 reminds us that if we are filled with the Spirit of God, we may experience falls and failures, but he is right there to pick us up and keep us during those times. God will rescue us and not let us be defeated. See, defeat's in your head. Doc, probably, I don't know how many others know. Bruce Lee. Okay, you know him. Okay. This is his quote. Defeat is a state of mind. No one is ever defeated until defeat has been accepted as reality.
Wow.
Our battle is in our minds. It processes and reacts according to what it intakes. Many big media outlets fill us with fear and hopelessness. 24/7. Did you ever notice? 24/7. And there are people who listen to it 24/7. I wonder why they can't sleep, why they're all worked up, why they're this, why they're that. And did you ever notice? You'll go into offices or any place, they got a TV on, and what do they got on? The news. You know, I got a suggestion for them. They want to help a lot more people out. Put Victory Channel on there. They'll get the word. They'll get healed. They'll get delivered. They'll get set free. Maybe that's what we ought to do. Somebody take up that, start going to the different doctor's offices and say, you know, this is what you ought to put on. This is what you ought to put on in your waiting room over here. Well, I know people that listen and watch the stock market all day long. There's a channel for that. I worked in a house one time. That's all they... that was on there. That's all they listened to. I mean, they could be off in the other room and they'll listen to it. Oh, did you hear that, honey? Yeah, the market's doing this. You can't react to the market. That's not where our money's invested in. No, we invest into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so, but that fear and that hopelessness, what's it doing? All it's doing is causing depression, great distress for us, anxiety, panic attacks. If we intake his promises in his word for us, we would have Bible hope. And what is Bible hope? Confident expectation of success. pays the word up. Word up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, the voice for you, Tim. For though we walk in the world, we do not fight according to this world's rules of warfare. The weapons of the war we're fighting are not of this world, but are powered by God and effective at tearing down the strongholds erected against the truth. The truth. That's His word. And you know, I come to something the other day. You know, it's my job. My job to give you the truth, to give you the word. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to interpret the truth in you. And you have the Spirit in you that will bring light, revelation, and understanding and knowledge from the word that you hear, if it's the truth. And the truth, that's why we try to stay on target with the word. Verse 5, we are demolishing arguments and ideas, every high and mighty philosophy that pits itself against the knowledge of the one true God. We are taking prisoners of every thought, every emotion, and subduing them under and to the obedience of the Anointed One. Holy Spirit brings us a very important point right now. Don't give false power to the present circumstances. In doing so, we are empowering the problem at hand. The power for what we are facing is found in God. It's in God's hands. Remember, God is our refuge. And His everlasting arms are under you. Literally, He's got a hold of you. Do not give false power, control, authority, or influence to the present circumstances. Instead, plead the blood of the Lamb. Decree the power, capacity, aptitude, authority, strength, and wonderful works of God. Let's not allow the present circumstances to define our future. Do not relinquish power to the situation. Keep it in God's hands. Praise Him before the breakthroughs. And rejoice before the victory. Psalm 68, verse 1 here through 4. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. Boy, does that bring back that old song, doesn't it? Let God arise and enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Oh, hallelujah, huh? Woo, Jesus. Let those who hate God run for their lives. Blow them away like smoke. Melt them like wax in a fire. Let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Because their joy brings strength. Hallelujah. The joy of His presence overwhelms you with strength. Verse 4, sing praises to God and to His name. Again, sing loud praises to Him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in His presence. Rejoice in His presence. His presence is here in the house right now. I'm telling you, He's in the house. He's speaking to us today. Paul tells the Philippians, what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. That's what it's about. We must be rejoicing. Sherry went to heaven. Rejoice in the Lord. When we genuinely rejoice, and then when we rejoice with others, it allows us to grow. Growth equals maturity. Maturity brings about wisdom and discernment. Wisdom and discernment makes for better life choices, which yields better life results. Let me end with this. Go to church. Pay your tithe. Read God's word aloud. It makes a difference if you read it aloud. When you pray over someone or for something, pray aloud. It makes a difference. And pray according to His will. His will is His word. Pray His word. You will experience great success in your life and your families. You will find yourself walking the pathway called victory. Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. Yeah.